let us run. You know, the Christian life is likened to a variety of metaphors. The Christian is to be the salt of the earth. They're to be the light of the world. The Christian is a soldier that's fighting in the midst of spiritual battles. But probably one of the more picturesque comparisons is to that of a runner. Are there any who ran track in high school? Many of you did. So you understand the thrill of the race, the thrill of the run. You know, when I was in elementary school, part of our recess could be chosen to run around the perimeter of our schoolyard. It was clearly marked. And every time you got to past the checkpoint, you got like a popsicle stick. And so there was a guy in fifth grade. His name was Jeremy. He was not Jeremy Bowling. But his name was Jeremy, and he was the fastest runner in the school. And every time, I mean, I would try my best to get as many sticks as I can. He would always have the most sticks. And so one time, I was in fourth grade at the time. He was in fifth grade. I was committed to beating him and getting more sticks. I didn't have an axe to grind. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. All I know is I wanted the most popsicle sticks at the end of recess. And so I ran my hardest. I ran as fast as I could. And I believe I got the most popsicle sticks that day. And I was rewarded with a severely pulled hamstring. And after that day, I officially quit competitive running. I got my popsicle sticks, and that's the end of the story. But you know, we probably all have stories that involve races to some degree. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about running to illustrate the Christian life. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. 2 Timothy 4:7, as Paul toward the end of his life, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. Kind of like a runner looking for that final crossing line. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we have Isaiah chapter 40 tonight, and just to kind of set the context, the prophet Isaiah is writing to God's people who were in captivity in Babylon. They were wondering, is God still going to keep his promises and return us to the land? They were growing distressed. They were growing discouraged. But Isaiah opens up the chapter with a message of comfort in verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And God does keep his promises. I'm thankful for that. I hope you are too. It is the promises of God that keep God's people going forward. And the message that we're going to focus on tonight is the promise of God helping us when we run. You know, in order to run well, we have to have the proper mindset and the proper attitude. A runner trains, prepares, and executes, but he has a game plan in the process. Our passage tonight is going to give the Christian, God's people, hey, a game plan for running well. Let us run. Let us run this year. And so this message is just not to the high school, to the students. This message is for the parents. This message is for the church member here today. This message is for you because it's from God's word. Let us run, first of all, number one, with his power. With his power. Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We see, first of all, a reminder of his power. Where is this power coming from? In the series of questions here, Isaiah is asking these questions to stir up in the minds of God's people that God is faithful and God will be with them. Where is this power coming from? First of all, he is eternal. This power comes from an eternal God. He is everlasting. Jeremiah 10:10 says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation." We have an everlasting King. He is also the Lord. The Lord stresses the faithfulness of his promises. I don't have it on the screen, but if you remember in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses goes to the burning bush, and God reveals to Moses that he gives him a new name, that he is the I Am, I Am. He is the Lord. And the I Am always, whenever the Lord, you see in the Bible, Lord spelt capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It is Jehovah God. And Jehovah God, his name is always a reminder that God keeps his word. He's faithful. He's faithful, folks. He's a faithful God. He's also the creator. Verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth. It stresses his power. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." And catch this, "there is nothing too hard for thee." Hey, listen, if we want to run this race, we need his power. And guess what? God's power is unlimited in supply. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing that can limit him, except many times us. We limit ourselves from God using us. So let us run with his power. You know, husbands, aren't we often needed reminders? I've learned just in my short 3 months here that if I don't write something down, gone. My wife knows this all too well. And so if she tells me once, she knows there's probably about a 5% chance I'm going to remember it. So she has to text me. If she texts me, it goes up to about 50% maybe, 75%. But then if she really needs me to know it, she'll somehow, some way relay that information to my daughter, Sophia, and then Sophia will text me, and then we're looking at maybe about a 95% rate. There is still a 5% chance that I'm going to forget about it. Hey, we need some reminders. We need to be reminded, folks, that we serve a great God. We serve a God, he gives us power. We need to run with his power. You see, God's character. Why does Isaiah start with these questions? It's to remind God's people of God's character. And guess what? God's character gives us assurance of his capabilities. Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. We see the reminder of his power. We also see the recipients of his power. Notice how Isaiah describes the people here. "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." You know, though there are people out there who are fainting. The idea here is being exhausted or fatigued, whether it be physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Hey, guess what? Life happens. The stress, the circumstances of life, if we're not careful, will cause us to faint. But there's also people who are failing. It says here, "And the young man shall utterly fall." And the idea there is one who stumbles due to weakness, whether it be physical weakness, whether it be spiritual weakness and sin. Hey, listen, we may all fall under one of these two categories. We may be fainting, we may be failing, but guess what? We can still be conduits of God's power. You know, the Lord delights in showing his power to those who see their need of it. But that's where the rub comes. Yes, God is all powerful, but you know what? Do we see our need for his power? If we're going to run well, and let us run and run with his power, do we see the need for his power? You see, if we choose to run in our own strength, rest assured, you're going to fail. If you try to run in your own strength, guess what? You're going to be fainting and you're going to be failing. We need his power. We need his strength. Students, teachers, parents, church members, may this time, may we be challenged to run in his power. May we look to the Lord for daily strength, because this year is going to get tough, students, teachers, it's going to get tough. There's probably going to be times where we're going to want to, and I hope it's not Tuesday. Give us some time, but hey, listen, we're going to have those times. We're going to have those moments. And guess what? When we come to the end of our rope, when we see, "God, I can't go any farther," that God says, "You're right. You can't, because you need me." Amen. We need his power. We need his power. So let us run, first of all, with his power. Number two, let's run with patience. Let's run with patience. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We see, first of all, the conflict with patience. You know, we live in a society of immediate gratification, do we not? If we want or need something, we are simply two clicks away and Amazon primed before it's on our front door. And if Amazon Prime, which it did this to me a couple weeks ago, we just moved into a new house. The Lord has provided that. We needed a weed whipper. And so I ordered one on Amazon. And 2 days later, it says, your package may be lost. I thought Amazon could drone things to me. How in the world did they lose a package? But it happened, and things happen, and thankfully I wasn't stressed out about it. But you know, there's times where you may have ordered something, and if it's not there by the anticipated time, you're like freaking out, like, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? Amazon, we survived without Amazon for 30, 40 years, but now we're like, oh, how are we going to survive without this? You see, we have a tendency to be impatient. We live in a society that hates to wait. If I cannot get my cheeseburger at McDonald's in 30 seconds, I'm going to starve to death. That's the mentality. If I don't get through it, there's something wrong. You know, we look at waiting as an inconvenience. We've convinced ourselves that waiting is wasting time. My wife will attest to the fact that I am a very impatient person. She's saying no to her kids, not no to me. It's a yes, he is, very much so. I'm naturally antsy. Amen, right. You know, God has tested our family in a variety of ways when it comes to waiting. We've waited 4 to 6 to 7 years for our, what we always call our forever home. And God provided. But it took seasons of waiting and seasons of wondering, God, what are you doing? Are you ever going to? What's going on? Are we doing something wrong? What not? But God's provided. And we had to look and say, yep, wait. Waiting is never wasted time. But I always say waiting is not my spiritual gift. It is not. I'm a very impatient person. You know, there's many people in the Bible who were impatient. And with their impatience, there were some pretty dire consequences because of it. You think about Abraham and Sarah. They weren't patient. God said, you're going to have a child. They said, you know what? We're going to go our route and do our own thing and conflict. How about Moses? Moses was supposed to be the judge to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, but he jumped the gun and killed the Egyptian and had to wait 40 years for it to happen. King Saul, what a great example of being impatient. Samuel told him, wait till I get there and to give the offering. King Saul looked at the surroundings, he looked at the armies, he looked at the conflict, and he says, no, we got to offer now. And because of that, he lost his kingdom. How about the Israelites at Ai? They just saw the great victory at Jericho, and Jericho was a big city, and there was a formidable city, and God provided and gave them victory there. And then they saw the little town of Ai, and they're like, ah, we can take that. That's no problem. They didn't pray. They didn't seek the Lord. They just said, oh, little town, oh, they're nothing. And then I believe 32 people died because they didn't wait. See, waiting can come, a failure to wait can come with dire consequences. You see, an impatient heart is a heart that has chosen not to trust God. We convince ourselves that we know better than he does. We demand that our will be done rather than his will be done in his time. You know, as we run the Christian race, as we run, we cannot overlook or ignore the fact that the Christian life, and you need to understand this, the Christian life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is not something that we're going to be finished with tomorrow. However long the Lord has us on this earth, it is a marathon. It is a run. And we cannot, a marathon requires patience and endurance. You know, marathon runners do not sprint out the gate. They pace themselves. They run at a modest pace until they get enough energy stored up for the last leg of that race, and then they go. But see, there's a conflict with patience, and we need to be aware that our hearts are very quick to grow in patience. But God tells us to wait upon him. We see the conflict of patience, but also the confidence of patience. You know, our Bibles are packed with commands to wait on the Lord and the intended blessings that are bestowed upon those who wait on Him. And these promises are meant to instill confidence and assure us that patient waiting is never wasted time. Let's consider Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I don't know how many times in my life I've had to be reminded of that verse. Because I'm impatient. Because God did not answer my prayers in my time. And I had to go back to Psalm 27, verse 14. You see, strength comes to those that wait on Him. Consider Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." He shows us His goodness when we wait on Him. Waiting time, I'm convinced, and I've seen it over and over in my life, waiting time is a time for us to experience God's goodness. And that's before He even answers the prayer. We're reminded of His goodness. But listen, family here tonight, you don't have to wait to see God's goodness when He finally answers the request. You can see His goodness in the time of waiting for Him to answer. Psalm 62, verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Psalm 130, verse 5. "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in His word do I hope." Listen, that's just scratching the surface on the number of verses and the reminders of waiting. One person said it like this: to wait on the Lord means to long for the Lord, to listen to the Lord, to look to the Lord, and to live for the Lord. Now notice here, he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That word "renew" suggests a transforming change that happens with us while we run with patience. Just a few things. First of all, patient waiting transforms our weakness into His strength. Patient waiting transforms our impulsiveness to His calmness. Patient waiting transforms our complaints to hearts of gratitude. And then finally, patient waiting transforms personal insecurity, which is manifested, "If I only had more faith, more time, more opportunity." He wants to transform our personal insecurities into His peace. His peace. Truth be told, we have a lot of if onlys, do we not? If only. If only. But they hinder us from running the race well, because we need to run by waiting with impatience. Listen, when we pause and patiently look to the Lord, He will transform our outlook. We can be renewed, but we have to run with patience. So we see, let us run, first of all, in His power. Secondly, with patience. And then finally, number three, with purpose. With purpose. "But they that wait upon the Lord," verse 31, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We see, first of all, a greater usability. Our purpose in running the race is for God to take us to higher planes of usability. But this higher plane of usability requires us to yield to Him in a greater trust. When we grow in our trust for the Lord, it takes us from fainting in verse 30, from fainting, from failing, to soaring like eagles. Because He's in control. Because He is able to use us. Psalm 28, verse 7 says this: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him." And catch this: "I am helped." Do we need help tonight? When we're running the race, do we need help? Absolutely we do. Look to the Lord for strength. Look to Him as our shield. Then He says, "My heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." One author said it like this: "The race of the Christian life is not fought well or run well by asking what's wrong with this or that, but by asking, is it in the way of greater, oh, sorry, Will this allow me to grow greater in my faith, grow greater in my love, grow greater in my purity, grow greater in courage and greater humility and greater patience and greater self-control? Understand, when we understand our purpose for running, it'll be so that we can trust him more and he can use us more. But it requires us to trust him. We see a greater usability, but then also a greater trust. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, our faith should not be static. It needs to be something that's growing. We have a heavenly destination. Praise the Lord for that. But Paul understood that. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. But understand, he understood he was closer at the finish line than we are. And with that being said, we have a heavenly destination, but we should want our faith now to grow. Without him, we're nothing. And I had to be reminded of that many times. Without him, I'm going to fail. As a principal, I'm going to fail without him. Without him, we have no clear direction. We need his help. And so may we seek the Lord this year. And I say this year, I mean this school year. Obviously, 2022 is more than halfway over with. So when I say this year, I'm talking about this school year. May this year we run the race well. Not run the race with, I hope so, or I'll just give it the good old try. No. I want to run well, and I hope that's your commitment, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're a church member, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a teacher. Hey, listen, may you be committed tonight to running well. Running well. But guess what? That's going to require us to run in his power. That's going to require us to run with patience. Word just gives me the chills. With patience, but I need it. But then finally, let's run with purpose, because the only way we'll run well is when we trust him. Galatians 6:9. I'll finish with this. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the only way we will not faint is with his power. And understanding our purpose, but that requires his power and it requires trusting in him.